wanting to help other people. There are tons of things that could get us out of bed in the morning. There's tons of things that we can build our life around. But which ones are you building your life around? When I was doing this message, it came to mind about a house, being in the construction business. There was a house that was built back in 1935. It was abducted into the Architectural Hall of Fame, which I didn't even know there was a Hall of Fame for architectural, but I guess there is. It was built back in 1935 in Pennsylvania, and this family owned some land with some nice waterfall on it, and they wanted a house built there. And so they went and talked to the architect, and they figured that they'd, you know, probably build it on the sunny side overlooking the waterfall. Well, the architect did something different. He built it on the waterfall. The waterfall is actually part of the house. So the fireplace, the back rock of the fireplace, is actually one of the rocks in the waterfall. The hearth in front of it and the place where you stand, the rock actually comes up into the living room and stuff. The waterfall actually runs underneath and in the lower level through the house. So we actually built the house around the waterfall, and the rocks of the waterfall actually poured the foundation right on the rocks. And it was a great architect thing that it was adopted into the Architectural Hall of Fame. But that brings to mind Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rains fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. But it did not fall, because it was built on the foundation of a rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them is like a foolish man who builds his house upon the sand. And the rains fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. These things that we build our lives around, what are they? They can be either rock or sand, because we know that there's going to be trials that's going to come in our life. There's going to be hardships. Those are the winds. Those are the rains. Those are the storms of life. When they come and they beat upon your house, will it stand? Maybe you build your life around and send your life around your spouse. It's not necessarily a bad thing. But what happens when you, the doctor says, I'm sorry, 6 months to live? Or what happens if there's a horrific car accident and instantly they're gone? Your house just came tumbling down. What if you send your life around your kids? I'm going to raise godly kids. I want them to be for the Lord. That's a great thing. But what happens when your kid turns away from the Lord? Your house just came tumbling down. Those aren't the rocks that we're supposed to build upon. The rock that we're supposed to build upon is Jesus Christ. That needs to be our center. That needs to be our foundation. What happens if you build upon a career? I am going to be the CEO of this company. I've been working at it. Awesome. I am getting there. Getting an announcement. We're going to announce a new CEO. Oh, this is my time. And the announcement was that they declared bankruptcy and they're going out of business. Your house just came tumbling down because it was built upon the sand. What are you building your house upon? It says that we're supposed to hear the words that Jesus is speaking and do them. A wise man does them. So what do you have these words that he's speaking? Well, if we go right before that in Matthew 7, verses 21 and 23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not do mighty works in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from you, you evildoer. Prophesizing in Jesus' name? That's awesome. Casting out demons in Jesus' name? Doing great works in Jesus' name? And yet they heard on that day, I don't even know you. Away from me. They built their house upon the sand. They were not doing it for the Lord. They were doing it for their own glory. And then after that is when he says, who hears here's these words of mine. You need to do the will of my Father in heaven. If you hear these words of mine and obey them, you are building your house upon a rock. But if you hear these words of mine, do the will of my Father, and you do not do them, you're building your house upon the sand. And when the storms of life come, that house will become tumbling down. So you say, well, what are these words of the Father? What are they? If this is what we're supposed to do, a wise man does them, what are they? Well, let's go to Galatians 5. So Galatians 5, starting in verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brother. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in these words, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you do not consume one another. What are the Father's words? It says, love your neighbor as yourself. We also read in Matthew, and the guy comes to Jesus, he goes, Jesus, I know the Old Testament. There are so many laws. There's like over 600 and some. Can you help me out here? What is the greatest one? Let me work on that one. What's the greatest one? And his response to him was, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second one, it's almost like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then the verse right after that, it says, all the law and prophet are summed up in these two commands. So he's basically saying to this guy, he says, you know the whole Old Testament, all the laws and prophets, that's the Old Testament. If you do these two commands, I give you two commands, not the 600 and some, he said, if you do these two, you will fulfill them all. That is the will of my Father. If you do the will of my Father, you are like a wise man who builds his house upon the rock. What's the will of my Father? To love the Lord your God with all your soul, heart, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. These are the things that are the rock. These are what we are supposed to build our lives upon. So we know that the sand is the kind of the things of this world, the things of the flesh, our own personal desires. The rocks is Jesus Christ. The rock is all spiritual. It has nothing to do with this world. Because if we continue to read in Galatians, now we're in Galatians 5, verse 16. It says, I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and do not gratify the desires of your flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the desires of the Spirit, and the desires of the spirits are against the desires of the flesh. For they are opposing each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. Is there a battle going on inside you? Are we like Paul? I know what I'm supposed to do, but I don't do it. I know the things that I'm not supposed to do, but I seem to do those. That's a good thing if there's a battle going on inside of you. Because that means the Spirit is in there, warring against our own sinful flesh. It won't be until that day when Jesus calls us to be with him for eternity that we'll get rid of this sinful flesh. So if there's a battle going on inside of you, that's good. You need to start worrying when there isn't a battle going on inside of you. Because that means we still have this flesh. And so therefore, there's nothing to war against. That's when we need to worry. But if we have a battle going on inside of us, that is good because that is a spirit warring against our flesh. He continues to go on in Galatians. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evidence. Sexual immorality, impurities, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalry, dissension, division, and the things like these. Those who do these will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now you ask, what is the rock and what is the sand? Well, right there was a huge list of the sand, because we know that the sand is our own sinful flesh. Well, right there, Paul just writes out a list of our flesh. If we are doing these things, we are building our house upon the sand. That goes with all of our own personal desires. Our personal desires is get gratification from other people to hear their praises. our sinful flesh is something that helps us feel good right here and now. And the things we need to watch out for is every time we click on the TV, what do we see? You deserve a break. You need this. Oh, do this. It's all about the things of this world. We're bombarded constantly by the desires of the flesh. We're bombarded constantly by the desires of this world. We are told constantly to build your house upon the sand. And if we continue to go, it gives us a description of the rock. What are the things that we are supposed to build on? So if we continue to read in Galatians, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing, there is no law. So these are the things that we are supposed to strive for. Love was the first one listed there. Isn't that amazing? That's what Jesus said. Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor as yourself. Faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. If we have love, that is a great rock to start building on. And there is a faithfulness. Be faithful. Patience. Oh, everybody likes working for patience, don't we? Because when the good Lord's working on us with patience, what does he do? He brings trials into your life to help you build patience. That's always fun, huh? Please, Lord, send some storms in my life so that my foundation on the rock is stronger. We don't like praying that one, do we? Joy. Joy is one that I like, but I think it's really misunderstood because a lot of people look at joy as happiness. There is a huge difference between joy and happiness. In the Bible, it says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. He said this in a huge trial that he was in. This trial that he was in, he had joy, not happiness. He had joy because he knew that God was in control. He knew that it was only going to be for a short time. He knew that he was going to be saved from this. Even if he wasn't saved from this, he got to go and be with his Creator. It's all joy. There's no downside. It's all win, win, win. But if it's happiness, our happiness is totally, completely built upon our circumstances. Happiness is built upon sand. If we build our lives upon happiness, what makes us happy, our lives will become tumbling down when the storms of life come. We stumble in this area a lot. But that's okay. Because in 1 John 1:9, he says, if you confess your sins, I am faithful and just and will forgive you your sins. So take heart. If you stumble and fall, fall down on your knees. He will forgive you. In Lamentations 3:22-23, he says, my mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. If we screw up, we did terrible this day, that's okay. Tomorrow is a new day. His mercies are new. Sometimes those times that I'm done with and I've messed up this day so bad, it might only be 8 o'clock in the morning. But take heart. He is faithful. He will forgive us our sins. Take heart. His mercies are new each and every morning. Sometimes I get up out of bed and start out wrong, and it's like, oh, that's it. I'm going to crawl back into bed. I'm going to start this day over again. Maybe his mercies to be new again, right? Because we need his mercies. Build your house upon the rock so that when the storms of life come, it will stand. Don't build your house upon the sand. He continued to say in Galatians 5, and those who belong to the Lord Christ have crucified the flesh with his desires and his passions. If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become provoking one another and devouring one another. If we're going to stay in step with the Spirit, we need to counteract all this bombarding that we get all the time from the world, from the flesh. That means we need to crack open his word and meet with him every day. We need to get down on our knees and meet with him every day. to counteract all this other stuff that we're being bombarded with. Because if we don't counteract all this sand that's all constantly there, if we're not looking for that rock, then when the storms of life come, our house will become tumbling down. So my question is to you. I can't answer that question. Only you can answer that question for yourself. What is your house built on? You say, well, I want to build my house upon Jesus Christ. How do I do that? How do I know that I'm building it upon the rock rather than the sand? Well, let's go to Romans 12, as Kevin's been going through Romans 12 for quite a while now. Let's go back to Romans 12, 6 through 8. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophecy, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is service, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouragement, then give encouragement. If it is giving, give generously. If it is leading, do it diligently. And if it is showing mercy, do it cheerfully. God has given each and every one of us a gift. Not all of our gifts are the same. My gift's not the same as your gift. Your gift isn't the same as my gift. And even if our gifts are the same, he says he gives each of us according to his grace. Not everybody who has the gift of mercy has an evenly dispersed gift of mercy. Not everybody who has leadership gift is giving it the same. But whatever gift that God has given you, what are you doing with it? Are you using it for his glory? Or are you that servant who buried it? And when the master comes, you're going to dig it back up and say, here it is. We need to be using the gifts that he has given us for his glory. We need to be using it to encourage others to be building their house upon a rock. So what is your gift? You're like, I don't know what my gift is. I would love to serve the Lord, but I've read this list before. I have no idea what my gift is. Well, let me encourage you. Which one would you like to do the most? Then go and do that one. If that is your gift, the one that he has given you, you will enjoy it. And he will use it to bless others. But you got to give it your all. You can't just half-heartedly do it. In Colossians 3, 23 and 24, it says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for man, knowing that from the Lord you receive an inheritance. You are serving the Lord Christ. If you go and say, I think maybe a little bit of leadership, so I'm going to go teach a Sunday school class. And you go down and, I don't think that was it. It's like, did you put your whole heart into it? Or did you just kind of show up and go, check that one off? We got to do it with our whole heart. That's what he says. Do it with your whole heart because we're serving the Lord. And if you serve him with your whole heart and you find out, I am really struggling in this area, okay, that might not be your gift. Move on to the next one on the list until you find out which one is yours. And then whichever one is yours, you need to do it all the way. As he says, if it is to teach, then teach. If it is to give, give generously. If it is encouragement, do it cheerfully. You know, there are some people that you just love to hang around because they're so encouraging, right? That's because they have the gift of encouragement. But what if those people, well, you know some of those people who you don't really want to hang around with because they kind of suck everything from you. There's not a whole lot of encouragement in them. Some of those are encouragers. They're just using their encouragement gifts for themselves. That's what a lot of people who draw from you is because they're trying to encourage themselves. We're not supposed to use it for ourselves. We're supposed to use it for God's glory. Use it to encourage others. Do it wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly. In Matthew 7, verse 16, it says, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We're supposed to use these gifts that he has given us, whatever it is. If it's prophesying, if it's teaching, if it's serving others, we're supposed to do it in such a way that they look at us and say, wow, you are such a great encourager. Your God must be so awesome. That's how we're supposed to do it. If we're doing it for the fact that, oh man, you're such a great encourager. I love hanging around you. You're a cool guy to hang around with. We're not doing it for God's glory. We're building our house upon the sand so that we get that gratification. Then when the storms of life come, and you get somebody who comes up and says, you're kind of mean, I don't like hanging around you, our world will come tumbling down because we are building it upon the sand. But if we're building it upon Jesus Christ, and that is our rock, when the storms of life come, and those people who are negative or a life situation happens, those storms are going to come. When they come, they will beat upon our house, and our house will stand. It might shake a little bit, but it won't come tumbling down. Acknowledge God in everything that you do. Be acknowledged or not acknowledged, He is there. You can believe in gravity or you cannot believe in gravity, but I guarantee if you step off of the roof, you're coming down. And it will hurt. I can testify to that. If you believe in God or if you don't believe in God, if you're doing it for God or you're not doing it for God, He is in it. And someday we're going to have to answer for it. So the question isn't, is God real? The question is what are you doing for Him? Are you doing it for His glory? In Matthew 6, 19 through 21, it says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust can destroy and thieves can break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Sorry, I read that wrong, didn't I? It says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures here on earth where moth can destroy and where rust and moth come in and destroy and thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust can destroy and thieves cannot break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where is your heart? You're wondering, it says, well, what am I building my foundation on? What am I living for? There are three things we can look at. Where does all of your energy go into? Where does all your finances go into? That's where your heart is. Where is all your time? Where are you spending your time? That's where your heart is. It says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Can you say that the good Lord gets most of my time? Can you say that the good Lord gets most of my money? Can you say the good Lord gets most of the energy that I spend? I am building my house upon Him and Him alone. Or are we looking at that and looking at those three things and find out, well, the good Lord's kind of getting the leftovers of my time. He's kind of getting the leftovers of my finances. He's kind of getting the leftover of my energy. Then look at it and say, well, what am I putting all my energy into? Where is my heart? Because a lot of people are going to miss heaven by 18 inches. We think that God is number one in our lives. We think that we're doing what's right. But God cares about our heart. The heart is what matters. Are you putting your whole heart into it? Or are we just thinking about it? The good Lord is after our heart. That's what He wants. But take heart in all of this. He is faithful and just. He wants us. When we find out that we screw up and we go to Him, He's not going to go, I've been telling you that for years, man. It's about time you finally caught on. He never says that. He says that when anyone turns and comes back to Him, the angels in heaven are rejoicing. They are throwing a party. When the prodigal son came back, he goes, I'm going back to my father. Even his servants are living better than I am. I'll go back and say, hey, can I be one of your servants? But before he could even ask that, his father was rejoicing and made him his son again. We are his adopted son and daughters. When we turn from ourselves and turn to him, he's not going to say, well, yeah, you can be my servant. No, he's going to say, come here. I love you. you are mine. Let's throw a party. There will be a party in heaven for that. So don't worry about if you are messing up and you're like, I've messed up for so long. That's fine. All you got to do is ask him for forgiveness. He will forgive you. All you got to do is ask him. His mercies are new each and every morning. I want to encourage each and every one of you to seek in your heart. Find out what your rock is that you are building on. Or are you building upon sand? What are you living for? And then if you are building upon a rock, ask for strength, ask for encouragement to continue to do that. And if you are building upon the sand, then ask him for forgiveness and guidance so that your house does not come tumbling down. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this day.